Do you know the name Kenneth Feinberg? Feinberg is an attorney in New York. He was appointed to supervise the fund established by Congress in the wake of the terrorist attacks on September the 11th, 2001. Kenneth Feinberg was set to organize and to distribute the Victims Compensation Fund that was intended to distribute to all the families of those killed in the attack. He worked pro bono for 33 months. He met with victims and the families of the victims, and he wrestled with all those issues that were provoked by the subject. He ended up, in the end, designing a kind of formula, one that he used to figure out how to distribute all the money, how to assign value to each and every one of the lives that were touched by that disaster. He used age. He talked about whether or not they had life insurance. He discerned whether or not they had earning potential for what would have been the rest of their days. And he also looked at the number of dependents that they had. The value of each and every one of these lives varied dramatically in the model that he put together. For instance, those who were blue-collar workers, the folks who ran the copy machines, or the folks who cleaned the toilets up on the 50th floor, or who worked down in the mailroom, those lives averaged something right close to $250,000. Conversely, some of those who were the executives and CEOs, the big shots, those came in a little bit higher. Some of those went for as much as $7.1 million. And after almost 3 years of work and devotion to this effort, Feinberg himself was changed by the experience. He wrote, "Trained in the law, I had always accepted that no two lives were worth the same in financial terms. But now I have found that the law is in conflict with my own personal values and my assertion that each and every life has value. I have come to question the very basic premise of the legal system." Jesus' call to discipleship in the gospel that was read just a little while ago is straightforward enough. I mean, he's being straight up honest with those who would come after him. Jesus talks candidly and would have our eyes be open as we entertain this possibility. He just tells us straight up what it's going to be like. You know, there's going to be conflict. Conflict even within families, man versus father, daughter versus mother, daughter-in-law versus mother-in-law, a household filled with foes. And he goes on, "You want to follow me? Go ahead. Take up the cross." And I don't think that he meant jewelry. But in the middle of this invitation and this candid warning about what comes with this following, comes something else. This strange and radical and sort of upside-down statement about the value of a life. Unlike Feinberg in New York, Jesus of Galilee offers a very different kind of calculus for the value of a human life. In fact, to illustrate, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father. Their lives are not beneath. Their lives are not too little for God's care and attention. So don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Jesus says, "You are of more value than the sparrows." Now, in a world that assesses the lives of the rich at about 28 times more than that of the poor, God's attention to the impoverished, to the struggling, God's attention to the vulnerable seems kind of out of whack. So how much is your life worth? If you were to whip out the little formula, use Feinberg's model and talk about life insurance and dependents and age and present income and kind of extrapolate all that out, what would it be? Does that really matter? Jesus said, "Even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. you are of more value than many sparrows. Little Tommy got onto the school bus, and as he was climbing aboard, he got knocked off and somehow fell back down the stairs, and on the way down, he smacked his face hard on the door and cut his cheek. Then at recess later on, he bashed into another little boy, and sure enough, two of his teeth popped out. And then at noontime, as he was climbing up a tree, he fell out, and sure enough, he snapped his wrist. Later on at the hospital, his dad noticed that Tommy was clutching a quarter in his good hand. Tommy said, Dad, I found it on the ground when I fell, and this is the first quarter that I've ever found. This is sure my lucky day. Oh, I probably told that one, but there's a newspaper ad that read, lost, one dog, brown hair with several bald spots, right leg broken in a car accident, rear left hip arthritis, right eye missing, left ear bitten off in a dog fight. Answers to the name, Lucky. How much is your life worth? Jesus said, do not be afraid. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. I have friends who like to say, God doesn't care if you have a glass of wine. So I do sometimes. I have friends who like to say, you know, God doesn't care if you skip a day shaving. So I do sometimes. God doesn't care if you get a tattoo. I haven't done that yet, but, you know, I will. And I suppose on one level all that's true, but it's not the whole of the truth. In fact, you could just as easily make the case that, well, if Jesus is right, there is nothing about which God is disinterested. There is nothing outside of God's care and attention. After all, God knows and cares about the details. God does sweat the small stuff, as it were. So sparrows and hair follicles, custodians and CEOs, God is strangely and weirdly aware, valuing and cherishing and saving each and every life, even to the point of offering his own life. Jesus makes it clear that God is serious about your value, about my value. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take up the cross and follow me and trust me and love me because I love you. And by the way, while you're at it, love your neighbor, because after all, God loves them too, even if we would prefer otherwise. After the victim's compensation fund had all been distributed, after the project was completed and Feinberg was thanked and released from his duty, Feinberg got a call from the president of Virginia Tech. He wanted him to manage the fund established for the families of the students and faculty that were killed there in 2007 in that awful mass shooting. The lawyer stopped, and he ended up writing in his book, I realize that Feinberg the citizen beats Feinberg the lawyer. He said, my legal training would no longer stand in the way. This time, all the victims, students and faculty alike, would receive the same compensation. Don't be afraid. We are loved and sent. And maybe you hear Jesus today. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Sounds like a song, doesn't it?